Welcome to Filtration Matters, the regular podcast from Bofa, a world leader in portable fume and dust extraction. In this series, we'll be exploring how innovations in filtration and extraction system design are helping improve productivity across multiple industry sectors, including in laser, 3D printing, and electronics. Bofa experts will discuss how advances in extraction technology are helping optimize manufacturing processes and product quality, while at the same time contributing to a clean, healthy working environment. In the high-volume, high-speed world of fast-moving consumer goods, the FMCG market, productivity makes all the difference. Visit almost any FMCG production line and you'll see laser technology applying codes at up to and beyond 1,000 codes per minute. It's a process critical to maintaining production schedules, and it relies on fume and dust extraction technology, filtering the airborne contaminants that could otherwise impact negatively on both mark quality and human health if not effectively controlled. That's where Bofa comes in. And to explain more about the vital role that fume extraction plays in keeping production lines moving, we're joined by Josh Evans, an applications engineer with specialist knowledge of laser-generated emissions. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Josh, when we think of lasers, we think of high-energy systems. So why has this technology become such a fixture in FMCG markets? What role do they perform?
So lasers act as a coding mechanism for consumer goods, things like food, drink, pharmaceutical products, so that you know when it was manufactured, where it was manufactured, and also things like sell-by dates, so you know how long it's going to be used for.
And I guess the other advantage of laser technology is the speed that they operate at. So what sort of speeds are we generally looking at for FMCG operations?
So the coding operation for years was the rate limiting step for consumer goods. So it was the one that was slowing everything down. But the laser technology has now seemed to catch up, and we're getting up to speeds of 1,000 products per minute. So when you see these going past, you can really understand the rates that the products are being generated at.
We'll talk about laser fume and dust extraction systems in more detail later, but now might be a good time to understand why manufacturers need filtration technology in the first place for these particular processes.
So when a laser is coding onto a product, you're removing some of that material, and that's going to become airborne. So there's a number of different reasons why you want to capture and filter those airborne contaminants. The first reason on people's minds is health and safety. So if something's in the air that's not supposed to be there, then you don't want to be breathing it in. But also it can improve the quality of the code. So if there's lots of particles, lots of dust in the air, that causes a scattering effect on the light from the laser and creates poor code quality, then there'll typically be a system checking if that code is readable, and if it isn't, it'll get rejected. So if you've got lots of particulate in the air, you're going to get poor code quality, which means to more product rejection and therefore higher consumer costs for the business. Also, as you can imagine, lots of dust in the air, that's going to get into moving parts like conveyor belts and stuff like that, and increase the wear and tear on the products in general.
So thinking about FMCG, and we've spoken about the speed of canning lines, but where else might we find lasers in this market?
Well, if you look at pretty much any product in the supermarket, it's going to have some form of sell-by date, some sort of form of code on it. But beyond that, we're seeing it more and more in things like components for electronics goods or automotive manufacture, where if there's a particular defect, then you need to know exactly which batch that product was manufactured in, and therefore the scale of the issue, which products may be affected. And also there's lasers being used in slightly stranger applications. For example, the stonewash on denim jeans is quite often now done by a laser, as well as those rips that you might see on those jeans. We've seen lasers being used to put the grill lines on steaks or to mark onto the side of wine barrels. It's really limitless. Anywhere where you've got products that need an individualized mark put on them, you'll often find a laser.
Okay, so let's talk about emissions and coming back to the FMCG market. What sort of fume or particles can be generated by lasers, and what could be the consequences for human health if these aren't adequately controlled?
So, what's being given off is largely going to depend on the material itself. So, for example, if you're lasering onto a metal, it's going to give off very different emissions to if you're lasering onto a plastic. But in general, we would expect lots of particles to be given off in the kind of micron and sub-micron range. That means that the diameter of the particle is going to be around 1 micron in diameter. For those that don't know, if you take a meter and divide it by 1,000, you get a millimeter. And then if you divide that by 1,000, you get a micron or a micrometer. But where you are lasering onto materials like plastics and other organic materials, there may also be a decomposition effect where the laser actually changes the chemical structure of the material, causes it to break down and form new chemicals. A very common one, not specifically from the laser coating industry, but from the laser industry in general, is when you're lasering onto acrylic, also known as polymethyl methacrylate. It decomposes that into methyl methacrylate and gives off a very pungent odor. So you're likely going to be getting a mixture of particles and gases being given off. In terms of the health implications, it's going to depend on a number of different factors. Breathing in some level of particles, we do that every day. But when it's in high enough concentrations, sustained over long periods of time, and also depending what those particles are made out of, that may have further health implications. One of the key guidelines for understanding what those health implications might be is looking at the occupational exposure limit, which is known by a number of different names in different countries. For example, in the UK, it's the workplace exposure limit, in a document called EH40. And that gives you the maximum average concentration of a particular material or chemical that workers are allowed to be exposed to in the workplace. And the lower that number, the more severe the perceived health risk.
Beyond the health aspects to extraction, the other consideration for manufacturers, I guess, is the impact that any airborne emissions might have on the laser itself and the quality of the mark. So is that an important aspect of extraction technology?
Absolutely, and it's why we see such a high connection rate in this particular industry. So, as I've mentioned before, when the particles are in the air, they can cause a diffraction effect on the light from the laser beam, which basically means that less energy makes it to the product, to the material from the laser, and therefore you're not going to get as clear a mark. But on top of that, if any of those dust particles end up on the lens itself, that will further affect the quality of the mark. But it may also cause hot spots that damage the laser lens. So it could lead to increased costs of replacement parts or even increased downtime as you're constantly having to stop the line, clean the lens, restart it back up again.
So obviously this is a very fast-moving industry in terms of the product lines. So how does Beaufort go about filtering the fume that's generated when speeds are moving at such a fast pace?
Yeah, the production lines are getting faster and faster. when we're talking about 1,000 codes per minute, the product's probably moving at least 20 meters in that time period. And when the laser ejects material from the product, the emissions are going to have the same velocity that the product originally did. So it definitely proves a challenge when it comes to capturing the fume. We do a number of things to compensate for this. So one thing is going to be increasing the airflow. So if you're increasing your volumetric airflow rate in meters cubed per hour or cubic feet per minute, then you're going to increase the power of the extraction system to capture fumes. Essentially, the fume has more energy, so we need to inject more energy into the system. Another thing is to use the movement of the product to our advantage. So if the movement of the product is pushing the fume in a particular direction, then we're going to put our capture device, our nozzle, in that direction. So it's almost guiding it towards our extraction system. Another thing to consider is that higher production rates means that more fume is going to be generated. So the extractor is going to perform the same in terms of, how many codes before the filters need changing, but that's going to happen in a shorter period of time. So maybe we need to compensate as well with larger filters that perform even better.
So it's a good time just to explain what a typical Bofa system for laser might look like.
Yeah, so I'll start at where our equipment begins, which is the extraction nozzle. Fume capture is possibly one of the most overlooked components, but it's probably the most important. It doesn't matter how good your filters are if you're not capturing the fume. So we capture the fume using a nozzle or maybe some sort of custom device, transport it through ducting, and that has to be selected specifically to prevent the fume, the particles from dropping out and causing blockages. Then that feeds into our extraction system where we have a pre-filter. The pre-filter's mainly functional. It's just there to capture the biggest particles, capture a large number of particles, to help increase the performance of the extraction system itself. Any particles that make it through the pre-filter are going to come into contact with the HEPA filter, which stands for High Efficiency Particulate in Air. That's going to be capturing almost every particle that comes through it. After that, we have an activated carbon filter that's designed to filter gases and vapors, particularly volatile organic compounds. And we do select that carbon specifically for different industries. So across our extractor range, you'll find a number of different activated carbons depending on what industry it goes into. In the coating industry, that'll be particularly important for processes like laser coating onto PET drinks bottles, so your typical plastic drinks bottle. And then finally, it runs through a pump, which is driving the airflow, and then can either be exhausted back into the workplace or outside the building. On top of that, one really important factor is our control system. So again, you may have everything else designed really well. If you're not controlling your airflow and your filter management well, then the extractor isn't going to perform well.
And final question, Josh, is around the focus on productivity. And you mentioned the control system and how important that is. So what sort of systems are inbuilt into the Bofa technology? I mean, I've heard mention of IQ. Perhaps you could explain what IQ is.
Yeah, IQ's one of our most advanced control systems available. It does a number of different things that sound simple but have a really big impact on the business. So one of the key things is it's constantly keeping a log of the extractor and its parameters, and then operators can download that log and inspect them to see if there's any issues, any improvements can be made to the system, see exactly what's been happening on a minute-by-minute basis, especially in the rare event that there's ever a fault with one of our extractors. That can be downloaded and sent to BOFA. It's really useful, particularly if there's a language barrier or a time barrier between us and our customer, because we can just read the log and quickly assess what the issue might be. It also has a very sophisticated flow control system. What that means is that the operator sets the airflow rate on the front of the extractor, and then the extractor will automatically compensate to maintain that airflow rate, which sounds simple, but it's quite unique in our industry. So whether the filters are blocking, or a bit of product falls down the ducting, or anything, a forklift rolls over the hose, the extractor will do its best to compensate for all of those eventualities, and maintain the airflow so that the capture rate remains constant throughout the life of the extractor. And if it can't achieve those flow rates, it will let the operator know and alert them to it so that corrective actions can be taken. On top of that, it's monitoring the filter blockages independently. So whether it's the pre-filter or the combined filter, it's monitoring those blockages, and it gives you a, 10, 20, 30% blocked warning. So for these high-speed production lines where downtime is so costly to the business, operators can plan and schedule their filter changes in time with previously planned downtime, which again, you're reducing the cost to the end user.
Many thanks, Josh, for your insights into laser coding and marking in the world of FMCG and highlighting the critical role that extraction technology plays in keeping production lines moving at incredible speeds while contributing to a healthy working environment.
If you want to find out more about BOFA and the benefits of filtration and fume extraction, visit bofainternational.com, where you'll find lots of sector-specific information. You can also catch up on all our podcast content by visiting bofainternational.com/podcast.